Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. We are all on a spiritual journey to meet, know, and follow Jesus. It's good to be with you this morning. It's good to wake up today and realize that this is another day that God has made. And we rejoice in this day, and we're glad in this day. Every breath that we breathe and every beat of our heart is a gift from the Almighty. God is awesome. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to set the stage today. I hope you put on your seatbelt this morning because we're going to go for a ride as we talk about or begin to answer the question that everybody's asking. Today we need to read, and there's a little bit of scripture here to read today. I need you to right away connect with me. Matthew 24, Jesus begins speaking about the last days. And there's a parallel. It's in Luke 21. It's kind of all bleeds together. I want you to listen. A question was asked Jesus. What is the signs of the end? People have been asking that question. And it's kind of cool. He sat down on the Mount of Olives and he began answering a question that a lot of us are asking today. And it's a complex question. So here it comes. You ready? The words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, "Do you see all these things? I truly say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which is not going to be torn down." As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying that I am the Messiah, and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened." Anybody scared? "For those things must take place, but that's not yet the end. For nations are going to rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom. In the various places there's going to be famines and earthquakes. But all these are merely the beginnings of birth pains. They will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many." Is that happening today? "Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand," Jesus says. You look, seeking understanding, let the reader understand. Parallel passage. In Luke 21, in the midst of him answering their question, he said this, "When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, recognize that her desolation is near. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Those who are in the midst of the city must leave, and those who are in the country must not enter the city, because these are the days of vengeance, so that all that is written will be fulfilled." Jesus is all about having the prophecies fulfilled. "Woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. There will be great distress upon the land and the wrath to this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive, and they will be led captive into all the nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Father, we come before you this morning in the name of Jesus. Serious times we live in, Almighty. Serious times the disciples were living in 2,000 years ago as Jesus was walking in Jerusalem during Passion Week. Lord, we ask God that you would answer our questions about the times that we're living in today. Jesus, just as your disciples 2,000 years ago had questions for you, we have questions for you this morning. When will these things take place, and what will be the signs, and what will be the leading up of your coming on earth? And are we living in these days? Would you answer our questions, Jesus, and help us to understand? We pray that you would do this for your glory and for your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. You feel the weight of the times that you and I are living in? Don't you feel it? People are saying that we're living in historic times. A world pandemic. Congratulations, you get to live in historic times. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of living in historic times. I'm tired of it. It's weird. When I look on in our conference room, we have a calendar of the year, and I'm staring at March and what I thought was going to happen in March. And then all of a sudden this thing starts, man, what? And I remember as a ministry staff, we're like, I don't think we might have to shut down the church. I bet we might not even be celebrating Easter here together. Wow, that's crazy. We were thinking about this in March. Man, maybe not Mother's Day. Maybe we'll be able to assemble again by Father's Day. Maybe this thing will be gone by summer. And here we are, the second weekend of July. Guess what? This isn't going away. It's not going away. This is probably how we're going to be living here, probably for the rest of this year. Is it possible that we might be celebrating Christmas and Thanksgiving under this worldwide pandemic? Reality, what a concept, right? This is crazy. Since March, people have been getting emails. Pastor Frank, is this a sign of the end? April, May, June. Pastor Frank, is this pandemic a sign of the end? A lot of people have been asking this question. It was interesting. In the Washington Post, March 17th, they had an article. Is this the end? It says, and I'm going to quote the Washington Post, "The worldwide upheaval caused by the fast-spreading novel coronavirus pandemic has many people reaching for their Bibles. And some are starting to wonder, could this be a sign of the apocalypse? Is it? What do you think?" Do you know, many religious Jews in Israel are calling COVID-19 a pandemic. They're calling it a plague. They call this the plague. Religious Jews in Israel are calling this a plague. When you hear the word plague, what do you think of? Moses, the plagues of Egypt, judgment, plagues. What's God doing? Is this pandemic a wake-up call to the world? Is it a last call before things really get bad? What do you think? I'll tell you this. I know God's using this in mighty ways. I know that God is using this pandemic. I've been getting emails and phone calls from kids that were in my youth group 20 years ago. "Hey, Pastor Frank, just thinking of you. I know why you've been thinking of me. You're scared, aren't you? You've been going back to when you were in junior high." And things, and it's true. This is getting the world's attention. There's no doubt about it. You know, the Bible is being, Walmart can't keep Bibles on the shelf. Do you know in Israel right now, the Messianic Jews that are a Jew that believes that Jesus is the Messiah is a Messianic Jew. And when you talk to the Messianic Jews in Israel today, they say that they are sharing Messiah, Jesus is Messiah, like never before. As a matter of fact, there was a Messianic Jewish TV station in Israel that was preaching Christ and the teachings of Jesus in Israel until the government just shut them down a few weeks ago because too many people were watching it. God is using this pandemic. He's using it in your life, isn't he? He's purifying you, isn't he? Whenever we talk about the last days, sometimes people emotionally will enter into the conversation of, is this the last days? As a professor at Biola, I had a lot of students praying that the last days would come before their midterm. They were emotionally praying that Jesus would come back before that final. I had a buddy of mine, when I was a student at Biola, he was getting married. They were graduating, we were graduating together, they were getting married that summer, and he told me privately, he said he was really going to be mad if God comes back on his wedding night. He didn't. I kind of get your point. You know, sometimes we think about the coming of Jesus, we enter that in a very emotional, I hope he's coming back because my world is either a mess or it's really going good, and by that I either want him to come back or not come back, right? But when we enter this topic cognitively, intelligently, what days are we living in? Scripturally. What days are we living in scripturally? That's the topic this morning. Prophetically. What days are we living in prophetically? Whenever people begin to think and go this direction, they always go to Jesus' teaching found in Matthew 24. It's parallel in Luke 13 and in, Mark 13 and Luke 21. Jesus, on the night, on Tuesday before his death, he had had a long day. And at the end of Tuesday, he ended up having that famous teaching in Matthew 23 when he rebukes the religious leaders and calls them all scribes and Pharisees. They're all hypocritical. And he yells at them and he tells people that when you convert somebody to what you believe, you make them twice as much a son of hell as you are. He was mad. You ever seen your father get mad? I could see the disciples watching Jesus and he was hot. And as they're leaving that place, they went to the temple, and he watched a lady putting money in a jar and says, she gives more money than they do. And I could, sometimes when I saw my dad get mad, I'd try to calm him, Dad, hey Dad, what do you think? Yeah, the Dodgers gonna win this year, you know? What do you think about, you know, this is my mask, I'm a Dodger fan, okay? And I could almost see the disciples saying, what beautiful buildings, Jesus. And Jesus says, everything you see here is going down. It's all being torn down. And when he went up to the Mount of Olives, they came up to him privately, listen. And when he said this to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another which will not be torn down. They were stunned to hear this. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? The disciples asked Jesus a question, a very complex question. The one that we're asking today. When is the coming of Christ's kingdom on earth going to happen? Is it soon? To the disciples, 2,000 years ago, the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem and Jesus ruling was a single web of events in their thinking. It's all going to happen. They were expecting Jesus to be a political Messiah by the end of the week. And that's why they were stunned when Jesus says the temple is going to be destroyed. And when Jesus responds to their question, he shows them that their question is a bit more complex than what they thought. It's a bit more drawn out. That there's going to be a delay before the end. They had no idea. A delay characterized by persecution and tribulation for his followers. A day when the fulfillment, the prophetic fulfillment of the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem will take place as it is written, he says. Where was it written? The book of Daniel. Jesus points them back to the book of Daniel, and I have to say, for all of us in here that ask questions, we need to read Daniel and understand Daniel, especially Daniel 9, 11, and 12 chapters. Daniel is like the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation in the New Testament is apocalyptic literature. Daniel is the apocalyptic literature of the Old Testament, speaking of the future events. And I'll tell you, what Daniel wrote and said and has come true is so scary because it all happened. Do you know that there's only two places in the Bible where it says the Messiah will die? Two places in the Bible where it's clearly told to us that the Messiah will die. Isaiah 53, the righteous one, my servant, will take away the sins and the iniquities of many. The righteous one, there's nobody righteous, but the Messiah is righteous. Isaiah 53 and Daniel 9. Clearly, God predicts that the Messiah will die. Listen to Daniel 9:26. Then after 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. NIV says the Messiah will die. The anointed one will die. And have nothing. And the prince of the princes to come will destroy. Listen to this. They're going to destroy the city and the sanctuary. And its end will come with flood. Even to the end there will be wars, desolations. Jesus used these very words on Tuesday. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. And Daniel was a prophet in the Old Testament. The temple had just been destroyed. The Jews were in deportation to Babylon. And Daniel was writing in Babylon. And he got these revelations. And God said in Daniel 9 that God is going to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And the Jewish people are going to come back and live in the land of Israel. And actually, when you read Daniel 9, it says, and there will be, God will deal with the sin of the world during that time. And all that God said through Daniel all happened. The Jews were brought back to the land. They rebuilt their temple. That's called the Second Temple period. But then when you read Daniel, it says, and then again, the temple's going to be destroyed a second time. And when the temple's destroyed a second time, the Messiah will be present. When the temple's destroyed, the Messiah will be present and be killed. The Messiah will be killed. And the Jews will be deported again. And Jesus is walking on Tuesday and he's saying, this is all going to happen. And they didn't even get that he was going to die by Friday. It's so scary when you read the prophet Daniel because it is fulfilled literally. How can this be? Because God is real. And he's sovereign over history. Daniel, Jesus says, you're asking me questions. You all need to read Daniel. He says, the Messiah is going to be cut off. I'm going to be paying for the sins of the world. This temple, it's going to be destroyed. And it's going to be ushering in a time or a dispensation or a unit of time called the time of the Gentiles. Pastor Frank, what is the time of the Gentiles? We're living in a season or a dispensation of prophetic time called the age of the Gentiles. And what it is, it's a time when Gentiles will rule over Jerusalem and the temple. And it happened in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed. And the Jews were deported out of their land. All as Jesus said it would be. And since that moment began this time of the Gentiles, you and I live in the age of the Gentiles. What is the age of the Gentiles? It's an age when non-Jewish people rule over Jerusalem and the Temple Mount, according to Jesus. Jesus points his disciples back to Daniel. And I believe he's pointing you and I back to Daniel. If you guys want to ask, are we living in the last days? Prophetically, you need to understand the times we're living in. Now, I want to show you something this morning, which I think is amazing. I'm going to take you on a spiritual journey. I need to take you on a journey through the Old Testament. Because woven throughout the Old Testament, there is a prophetic word of the nation of Israel. So I want to take you to the prophecies of Isaiah, which was written 700 years before Christ was born. I'm going to take you to the prophecies of Ezekiel, which was written 570 years before Jesus was born. I'm going to take you to the prophecies of Amos, which was written 750 years before the nation of Israel was born. I'm going to take you to the time of Jeremiah, 580 BC, before the birth of Christ. And then I'm going to take you to Jesus in 32 AD again. Ready? Here we go. We're going on a journey. I want you to listen. Tell me if you see a thread going through this. Isaiah 11, 11 and 12. Then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover the second time. Do this. Second time. God's going to recover a second time with his hand the remnants of his people who will remain from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Sinhar, Hamtha, and from the islands of the sea, and he will lift up a standard for the nations and will assemble the banished ones of Israel. He will gather the dispersed from Judah. Where? From the four corners of the earth. Isaiah 43, 5 and 6. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and I will gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Ezekiel 37, 21, and say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. Amos 9, 14 and 15, also I will store the captivity of my people Israel, and they will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them, and they will plant vineyards and drink their wine and make guardians and eat their gardens and eat their fruit, and I will also plant them on their land, listen, and they will not again be rooted out from their land which I gave them, says the Lord God Almighty. Did y'all hear that? Jeremiah 16. 14 and 15. Therefore, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be said, as the Lord lives who brought up the sons of Israel out of Egypt, but as the Lord lives who brought up the sons of Israel from the land of the north and from all the countries where he's banished them, for I will restore them to their own land that I gave to their fathers. Listen to Jesus one more time. But when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies and recognize that her desolation is at hand, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of the city depart. Let not those who are in the country enter the city, because these are the days of vengeance, in order that all that is written may be fulfilled. It has to be fulfilled. Woe to those who are with children and those who are nursing their babies in those days, for there will be a great distress upon the land and the wrath to this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword. And listen to this, and they will be led captive into all the nations, not Babylon, to all the nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled under the foot by Gentiles, non-Jewish people, until the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. What did you just hear me read? A timeline of the Jewish nation from 750 BC to 70 AD. And what did we just read? Take notes with me this morning if you want to take notes, because this is amazing. Note number one, the Jewish people will be forced out of Judea twice. Two times. The second time they are deported, they will be brought back from all the nations, from the four corners of the earth, not Babylon, from everywhere. Did y'all get that? Take this down. Take notes on this. God says they will once again live in their land. They will rebuild their cities. And God says through Amos that they will not again be taken out of their land. And the scripture says that God will be praised and remembered more for this miracle than in the days of Moses. Jeremiah 16. And then Jesus, the words right before his cross in Luke 21, says it's happening. The deportation's happening. The temple's going to be destroyed. The Messiah is going to be cut off. And Jerusalem's going to be trampled under. It's all happening. And that's what Jesus was telling his disciples the Tuesday before his death. When the disciples are shocked when they hear this. When will this take place? When is your rule going to happen? It's a single event, isn't it, Lord? Jesus says, no, it's not that simple. Read Daniel 9. He says, I'm going to die for the sins of the world. I'm going to be cut off. I'm the Messiah. The temple's going to be destroyed. Read Daniel 9. And the second deportation of the Jewish people is going to happen as the scripture says it's going to happen. All before my rule on earth, Jesus says. It was a complex question the disciples asked back then, and it's a complex question the disciples of Jesus ask today. It's a mysterious question. But people, I want to tell you something this morning. You and I are living in exciting times. In exciting times prophetically, because God is doing things in the world right now. There are birth pains happening everywhere. His coming is coming. Are you ready to meet Him? Because you are. Are you ready? Jesus said the temple would be destroyed and the Jews would be sent into deportation again. He said this in 32 AD. 38 years later, after Jesus' resurrection from the dead and ascension, all that He said happened. There was a revolt of the Jewish people in 66 to 70 AD. The 12th Legion of Rome came under a guy named Vespasian. This is all history. Destroyed the temple as Jesus said it would. Killed over 1 million Jews in the land, according to a Jewish historian called Flavius Josephus. They were taken as slaves throughout the Roman world. It's kind of funny. When you go with me to Israel, this is the Temple Mount that you would see today. And when we walk up to it, it's usually the second or third day before we leave. And when you walk, do you see the walls of Jerusalem? Look what's on the streets when they dug down. These are marble streets that Jesus walked on. Beautiful marble streets. And notice the rocks crashing the marble streets. As the Romans destroyed the temple, they pushed everything off the Temple Mount itself except just the wall, a retaining wall area. Everything was wiped clean. Jesus says all these buildings are being destroyed. 38 years later, they were all destroyed. That's pretty good, isn't it? How did Jesus know this? He's God. He's God. When I take people to Israel, do you remember? That's all prophetic word right there of Jesus laid out for everybody to see. Jesus said it was going to happen and it happened. 38 years later, the temple was destroyed and it's still, and now as the archaeologists dig it up, they go, look what they did. They destroyed the temple. Look at all these big massive stones. They just pushed off and cracked the marble streets that Jesus walked on and that you can walk on someday if you ever go with me. See, people, this isn't once upon a time in a land far, far away. This is confirmed history. It's truth. The scripture says two deportations of the Jewish people out of Judea. It happened with Nebuchadnezzar in 586 BC, and it happened with the Romans in 70 AD and 132 when there was another rebellion, and they took all the Jews out of Israel. And they actually made Jerusalem a Roman city and changed its name. It was totally, no Jew was allowed in Jerusalem after 132 AD. Did y'all know that? They were all taken out. During World War II and the Holocaust, how did the Jewish people get to Europe? How did they get to Auschwitz and Dachau, the death camps? How did the Jewish people go from Israel to the Roman world and to Europe and over the world? It was the Romans that deported them all, as the scripture said it would. And they've been out of their land for 2,000 years. But the scripture says that God will bring them back to their land a second time. Did it happen? After World War II and the Holocaust, the cry of the Jewish people to return to their land hit a fever pitch. And they returned by the hundreds of thousands. See, the miracle of the Jewish people is for almost 2,000 years, they were preserved as an ethnic group. They maintained a national identity and a language without a homeland. People, this is unprecedented in human history. Has anyone ever in here ever met a Jebusite? How about a Hittite or an Amorite? Has anyone ever met a Canaanite? How many people in here have met a Jewish person? How come they just didn't disappear? The miracle of the Jewish people, for 2,000 years, they kept an ethnic identity. They kept a universal language, the Hebrew language. They preserved without a land. For 2,000 years during Shabbat, they said, maybe next year in Jerusalem. For 2,000 years, it was the prayer of the Jewish people. There were people in the land of Israel before World War II, but after 1945 and World War II ended, the Jews that were spared the concentration and death camps, they just got out of Europe and they all went to Israel. And by 1948, while the United Nations is trying to figure out with all these Jewish refugees, what do we do with these people? And there was, it's the poor British. The British were ruling Palestine, Israel, and the Arabs were killing the British, and the Jews were killing the British, and everybody was fighting, and the Brits just say, "We want out of here." And finally, when they left, Israel declared statehood, and President Truman said, "We recognize it," and the United Nations says, "We throw up our hands." In May, they said, "We're a nation again after 2,000 years." And every Arab nation, five Arab nations around him said, "We're going to kill you." And they attacked them to push them all in the sea. If you were going to bet five nations versus one, who do you think would win? Guess who did? How did the Jews beat them? My second trip to Israel, I had a guy named Jacob. He was our tour guide in 1996. He was from Europe. And he told a story to me, and I shared it with people later. I asked him to share it with our group. He was in a death camp. His parents were all killed. He's an orphan. And he was waiting to die when an American tank drove through the front gate of the death camp that he was in. He was 16 years old. And he was liberated. And he said that after that, he says, "I don't ever want to live in Europe again. I want to go home." And he got on a boat, as many of the Jews did in 1945, 46, 47. He landed in Joppa in 1948, 16-year-old orphan. He said that his landing craft ran aground at Joppa, and he got off the boat, and they handed him a rifle, World War I bolt-action rifle, and he ran to the front to go fight. They call it the War of Independence, or the War of Liberation, the War of the Nation of Israel. And he told me, he said, "I was 16 years old. He says, I'm never going to die again being a prisoner. I will die holding my gun, but I will never die again in a death camp as a prisoner ever again." And he had this eye of the tiger. I don't have. And he fought in that war. I got goosebumps. And he was my guide in 1996 in Israel. He was not a believer in Jesus. Very bitter man, wouldn't you be? We had great conversations about Christ. The Jewish nation was reborn again in 1948, and that is a miracle. In 1967, they fought another war, and they took Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. Crazy. In 1976, they fought another war. And always against odds of 3-1, 4-1, 5-1. I want you to listen to the prophecy of Amos 9. Also, I will restore the captivity of my people Israel, and they will rebuild their ruined cities and live in them, God says. They will also plant vineyards and drink their wine and make gardens and eat their fruit. I will also plant them in their land. And listen, and they will not again be rooted out from their land, which I gave them. Says who? Says God. Are they leaving? No. Why? Because God said they're not. God has his people back for a reason. It's the miracle of the Jewish people and the Jewish nation. The scripture says that the Jews will be back in their land before Jesus comes to return in power and glory. It says this in Matthew 24, Daniel 9, and Daniel 12. He people, his coming is coming. The Palestinian Liberation Organization created by Yasser Arafat, we're going to liberate Palestine. According to the God of the Hebrews, you're not. Because God says, I will not let them get out of their land again. Iran says they're going to eliminate Israel. They're going to nuke. If they fire a nuke at Israel, I think the angel Gabriel's going to grab it and throw it right back. Because God says they're not leaving. In order for Jesus to return, the Jewish nation and the Jewish people need to be there. And they are. They're not there because they're righteous. They're there because the sovereign God says you will be there. You ever played chess? It's like God is moving pieces on a chessboard, setting up the end of the age. It's the miracles of the Bible. They're back there for a reason. Jesus says when the Son of Man comes again in power, the Jewish people and the Jewish temple will be restored. And he says there's going to be an abomination of desolation in the last week, so the last 7 years of before the end. See, his coming is coming. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you ready to meet Jesus? Because you are. He's the God of prophetic scripture. 2 times the Jews were kicked out of Jerusalem and the temple was destroyed. 2 times. 586 BC with Nebuchadnezzar and when the Romans in 72 AD. And God in Isaiah 11 says, I will restore my people twice. He says in Amos, and they're not leaving after the second time. And they need to be there for Christ to return. What about the north? See, listen to Isaiah 46. This one's interesting. This is so interesting. Do not fear, for I am with you, God says. I will bring your offspring from the east, and I will gather you from the west. Listen to this. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. What about the north? What nation in the entire world wouldn't let the Jewish people return to their land of Israel after World War II? Does anyone know? The Russians. The Russians. Every nation, Jewish people, you can return if you want to. There was one nation that said, no, you can't. It was the Russians. Russia, here's Israel, the geographical land of Israel. What nation's to the north of Israel? Anyone know? Russia. God says, Russia, let them come. What's so interesting? The Soviet Union in 1988 collapsed. The Iron Curtain fell. Berlin Wall came down. And the Russian Jews were allowed to return to their land if they wanted to. In 1988. People, this happened in my time. See, I was in 1996 when we were in Jerusalem. I had a Jewish rabbi come and speak to my group. Tell us how you understand, what do you understand about Messiah and why do you believe in God? And I had a Russian rabbi come and speak to our group. And he was really cool. He was a conservative rabbi. He believes in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Doesn't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. We were asking him all these great questions. And I remember asking him one. I said, why do you believe in God? And he says, because I'm here. I'm like, what do you mean by that? He says, read Jeremiah 16. God says that in the last days, it will no longer be said as the God who brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, but the God who brought the children of Israel from the four corners of the earth. He says, I'm here. He says, I don't understand what my God's doing. Yahweh's very mysterious, but I'm here, and thus I believe in Him. And he's the one that pointed me to Jeremiah 16. Pastor Frank, are we living in the last days? Is this COVID a part of the last days? I'll tell you what, the COVID thing has certainly got the world's attention. God has got the world's attention. People are humbled. I want to tell you something. The keys to the last days, if you want to understand the prophetic, what scripturally, what days are we living in? It's not COVID. It's the nation of Israel. That's the key. Last note. Israel being reborn as a nation is the greatest sign that we're living in the last days. When the nation of Israel was reborn, the way I understand Scripture, it set off the prophetic calendar. It clicked. And you know what? And in 1967, after 2,000 years, they captured Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. After 2,000 years, Jesus, they left in 70 AD, they returned in 1967. I was 2 years old when prophecy. The Christians, I understand, back in 1967 said, the age of the Gentiles is over. This must be the end of the world. Christ should be coming back next week. Because look, the Jews own Jerusalem and they have control over Jerusalem and they have control over the Temple Mount. Do the Jewish people have control over Jerusalem? Do the Jewish people have control over the Temple Mount? Answer? No. This is Jerusalem right now. That's the Temple Mount. What's that gold dome? Anyone know? It's a Muslim mosque. The Temple Mount is there. The Jews are living around it. Do they control the Temple Mount? Do you know that a Jewish person's not even allowed to go up and pray on the Temple Mount? Most of them aren't even allowed up there, period. Does the Gentiles still control the Temple Mount? Does the non-Jewish people still control the Temple Mount? Answer? Yes. We're still living in the age of the Gentiles, as Jesus said we would be. Jerusalem is controlled by Israel. Where is every nation's embassy in Israel right now? Tel Aviv. Because the United Nations say, oh, we cannot recognize that Jerusalem is the capital of the Jewish nation because that is a hotbed of potatoes. Does the Jews control Jerusalem? Yes and no. But one president just recently moved his embassy to Jerusalem. Do you know, President Trump did that. And all the United Nations screamed at him. And no one's really followed suit. But he recognizes that Jerusalem is the historical capital of the Jewish people from King David. What days are we living in? What days are we living in? I have a cousin whose son claimed the name of Jesus, went away to college, Boulder, Colorado. Don't send your kids there. In 4 years, they stripped this young man of his faith. He's now an atheist. And he's arrogant. He tells me that I believe in mythology and hocus pocus. And superstition, that I'm a stupid Christian to believe in Jesus in the Bible. Am I? see, I think I'm more smart than he is. If you would just read, you would find that prophetic word of God, history, archaeology, geography, prophecy, billions of changed lives. Christ. Do you know why I believe in the Bible? Because it's true. I'm a skeptic. I'm a skeptic. I picked up the Bible at the age of 20 as a skeptic. Prove to me this is true. Prove to me this is true. Isaiah 53 got me. But there are... Daniel 9's unbelievable. The prophet Daniel's unbelievable. Jesus said things would happen and they've taken place. Things are happening today. God says that his people would be taken out and brought back twice. They've been taken out and brought back twice. Every day on the news, turn on the news. God is screaming at you that he's real. Look at the Jerusalem problem according to the United Nations. Take it for what it's worth. Them being there is unbelievable. And it's prophetic. It's true. Jesus is coming back. You better be ready. This is not mythology. This is not hocus pocus. This is not superstition. This is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. This is the Messiah who's come and was cut off and yet will come. How do you deal with two coming? How can the Messiah rule and reign for 1,000 years? And how yet can the Messiah die? How can he rule and reign forever and die? How does this work? Two comings. Two comings of Messiah. Jesus came once to pay for your sin on a cross. That's Daniel 9, 500 years before he was born. Jesus came and died for your sins. God has prepared you for heaven through Messiah. And he died for you. And he came up out of the grave because nobody can stop Jesus. And he says the temple's going to be destroyed, and it was. And Jesus says the Jewish people are going to be scattered throughout the four corners of the earth, and they were. And the scripture says that they will be brought back, and they have. All lucky guesses? It's God. Are you ready to meet him? You might meet him sooner than you think. Do you know what Jesus, all around his teachings, I've been studying this the last few weeks, all around his teachings of Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, is Jesus saying, be alert and be ready. Be alert and be ready. Be alert and be ready. Christian, be alert and be ready. Do not be deceived. Be sharp. Don't have anxiety. Be okay. Don't be afraid. Be alert. Be ready. There's no better time to follow Jesus than today. Tell me I'm wrong. We sang the song a few weeks ago as we ended 2 Peter. Come, Lord Jesus, come. It says in the book of Revelation at the very end of the Bible, come, Lord Jesus, come. And I agree with the Apostle John. John watched the temple destroyed. John watched the Jews being deported. He wrote Revelation about 90 AD. He wrote his Gospel of Luke right around when the temple was being destroyed. When the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation, which deals all about that last week of the prophet Daniel spoke of in Daniel 9 and 12. It's all played out in the book of Revelation. See, Jesus is going to come back, and he will come on the clouds of great power and great glory. And it says that when he returns to earth, the nations of the earth will wail and weep. They're not going to be excited when they see him come because they've been fighting against him for so long. You know, I believe most people don't follow Christ because they don't want to. I think my cousin, he just doesn't want to believe in Christ. He's happier being an atheist because now he's in control of his own life. There are people, they don't want to believe in God. It's not cognitive truth. They just don't want to believe. But he's coming. You better be ready. It's all going to be okay. For you, for those of you watching, if you've never accepted Jesus, you need to. He's not mythology. He's not hocus pocus. He's not superstition. He's a historical figure that lived, walked on the earth, and his life fulfilled hundreds of prophecies written before he would come. And when he came, he fulfilled them all. How do you explain that? And not only, he said things were going to take place, and they did, and they do, and they are, and it's happening now. He's real, and you need him. You need him. He's preparing you for heaven. You will meet him one day. You need to meet God through the love and mercy of his love for you. See, Jesus came to pay for your sins on a cross because you are a sinner. You are morally offensive to God. God hanging out with you, you would contaminate the holy presence of the Almighty. He can't be with you. But Jesus came because for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish and have everlasting life. Jesus came and fulfilled the prophecies of Isaiah or Daniel 9. He died to take away the sin of the world. Isaiah 53. He takes your sin away because God wants to be with you. And God loves you. But the only way God can hang out with you is if he purifies you so he can be with you and you can be with him. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Have you been prepared to meet Jesus? You need him. Trust me, please. In faith, pray to receive Christ today. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ, do what I did in the fall of 1985. Humble your heart and lift your eyes up to heaven and pray, Jesus, I think you're real. That was my prayer. And I want you to come into my life. And he did. And he changed me. And he'll change you. I've been trying to figure out what Jesus did on that day. For the last 30 years, I'm trying to figure out what he did to me that moment of faith. I'm prepared for heaven. Please be ready. Because Jesus is coming. You're going to meet him. You're either going to go to him or he's coming to you, but you're going to meet him. And you don't want to be afraid when you see him. You want to say, yes, there he is. And that's what this song is all about. Let's join the Apostle John as he wrote the last words of the Bible when he said, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Christians, sing this song with us right now. Let's sing the song. God, we come before you now. We pray that you would receive this song as a prayer from our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.